Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
You all may be seated. I am so honored to stand in this platform with my, on behalf of my dear sister. I am thankful that she is being restored right now. That is a that's very passionate for me as a leader, how leaders just constantly pour, and we pour, and we pour, and we pour some more. And what we do is we become selfless. We pour so much, we forget about ourselves. And so when the opportunity comes, the Lord, if we're not careful, he will sit on us and make us sit down. And it's not that we've done anything wrong. It's just he said, I need you to be refreshed. I need you to be restored. And many leaders in this hour, the Lord began to minister to me last year. He set me down for 9 months. Let me minister to you. He set me down for 9 months. I thought I did something wrong. And I wrestled with it for a few months in my head. Let me minister to you people who are analytical. Get out of your head. There's no fruit there. I'm going to say it again. Get out of your head. There's no fruit there. I'm not just talking to Flawed and Free. I'm talking to TMI also. Get out of your head and stay out of your head. I was in my head. And just imagine the first few months of me being seated. I miss God. Hear me. I missed him. Because I was in my head. We miss the small, delicate things that God wants to do in and through us when we're in our head. Because we become analytical. We miss the mark. We miss the move. We miss the small whisper. We miss the touch. We miss everything that God wants to do in those moments because we are in our head. Yet we cry out, God do this, God do that. He's doing it, but we missed it. Why? Because it takes partnership. We can't partner with God when we're in our head. He set me down in June. It wasn't until late August when I did comprehend why I was set down. Because I was going like the Energizer Bunny. Let me minister to you, especially those of you who are parents. Yes, we have a mandate, a mantle called parent, mother, father, but you still need time to steal away for your oneself. Because if you don't, you will run on empty. And instead of you pouring from an overflow, you pour from a place of emptiness to your children. It wasn't until late August when I called a clue. He said, I need to restore you. I was traveling for ministry, taking care of my family, coaching, counseling, and I put myself on the back burner. The pulling the poor. That was the life that I lived. I'm saying all that to say, wherever my dear sister is, Apostle Latina, be restored. And as I stand as her sister, her collaborator in ministry, those of you who sit at her feet and you sit at the table that she has prepared, let her be restored. Because if you don't, she will pour from an empty place. She will give you what she don't have because she has not been restored. Amen. So I thank you for preparing the table for me. I have a word for you today. It's a word that I wrestled with. As you all know, today is the day of Pentecost. Leave him be. Leave him be. You got to learn to sit and receive. Leave him be. That's another thing about parents. We have to learn how to put our children in an atmosphere and let them be. Because we get bottled up and we miss the move of God because we're trying to be busy contending with the children and they're just fine. How do I know I got three groans and two of the grands are right here? What am I doing? Letting them be. God takes care of those. Today is the day of Pentecost. Some of you may not know what that means. I'm going to break it down really quickly, but I'm not going to labor there because I was trying to avoid talking about the Pentecost. I'm like, Lord, they hear about that every year. He said, I got a twist for you because there's something that's significant that led up to the Pentecost that we often miss. So, Father, we bless and we thank you, O God. We glorify you, Almighty King, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to see the day, this day, called the Pentecost. We thank you, Father, for your fresh wind. We thank you, Father, yes, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, who made it all happen. We even thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fresh fire that you blew in this wind, oh God, because some recognized that they needed to renew their yes in you. I pray, Father, yes, Lord, that under the sound of my voice, that every voice that regurgitated the three-letter word yes, that they meant it, that it was not just rehearsed, that it was not just saying because they were caught up in the motion and the move of the atmosphere. But that they took the time, Lord God, to really examine. Did they really say yes? Or were they just faking the funk? Lord God, I ask that you hide me behind your cross. And as I decrease, you increase, Lord God. Fill my mouth. Give me the tongue of the learned that I may speak a word to the one or ones that may be weary. Lord God, breathe a fresh wind upon them. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let me break down this word, oh God, so that even the little ones in this room can understand and comprehend it and receive it. Lord God, we bless you. We thank you. And we glorify you in the mighty, matchless name of Yahshua HaMashiach, which is Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We all know the story of the Pentecost. Acts is where I'm going to come from. That's my primary scripture. I'm going to be bouncing around, so just bounce with me. I think it not strange that I was invited to this platform today, a day of Pentecost. And for those of you who are not familiar, the day of Pentecost, it happens 50 days after the Passover. 50 symbolizes Jubilee. That's a whole nother history, that's a whole nother teaching. I won't labor there. Today is a day that we all should be reminded of what happened some thousand years ago. And I think it not strange that she played and ministered the song, Yes. Yes is not just a three-letter word. There's an acronym that breaks down yes. You say, what does that have to do with Pentecost? I'm going to get there in a minute, but I need us to understand when we say yes to the Lord, it requires us to yield. You yield your will. It requires us to fully embrace what God is doing and what He's going to do in and through your life. And the letter yes, it requires us to surrender. Yield, embrace, and surrender. Notice when you yield, you're giving up your right. When you embrace, you're coming in agreement. And when you surrender, you're giving your all. That means you lose control. When we think about the Pentecost, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified, which is uncommon for me, because I normally read from the Modern English Version. That's my primary, but for some reason the Lord said, no, switch that. So I did. Acts chapter 1. The first account I made, Theopolis, was about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given instructions to the apostles. I need you to repeat after me and say instructions. I'm going somewhere with this. He gave the instructions to the apostles, those who he had chosen. I like this part of the scripture because it clearly defines, he said, those who he chose. I ain't trying to be petty, but some folks today are not chosen by God. They're just operating in it. But the Bible says it's those that he chose. He said, verse 3, he said, to these he also showed himself alive after his suffering. Many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations appearing to them over a period of 40 days and talking to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Where am I going with this? The Lord God has a concern about his kingdom, his body, you and I. He has a concern. And so we know about the 40 days when he fasted, he's still away, but he had conversation with those that he chose. Here we go. He told them, while being together and eating, they were having fellowship, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. I'm going to repeat that. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. For those of you who like titles, it's quite long, but you'll catch it in a minute. His promise concerning you will be fulfilled when you follow his instructions. His promise concerning you will be fulfilled when you follow his instructions. It's a choice. His instructions were given to the apostles, the ones that he chose, the ones that he showed himself to after he suffered on the cross. And he spoke to them concerning what's going on today. Though we know the Pentecost happened 1,000 years ago, it's going to happen again. You say, why is that? I'm skipping ahead, but he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What happened in the day of the Pentecost? He poured out his spirit. Let me paint this picture for you really quickly. He said, go and be assembled with them. That means come together. But we don't just come together. We come together in unity. You can't have fellowship if there's no unity. He set the standard when he sat and he ate and he communed with his apostles. That was a standard that was set, and he gave them a word. He said, follow these instructions. He went on to say, the believers, those instructions you have to follow in faith. See, many times we're given instructions and we begin to execute these instructions, but we have little to no faith. And then we get frustrated, irritated, and agitated because we're looking for a move of God. Or we have the audacity to go before the Lord with an attitude, by the way. Well, Lord, your word said. And his rebuttal is, yes, I did say that, but did you follow instructions? See, in the midst of this, and you can read the rest of chapter 1 for yourself. But the thing I want us to understand is this. He not only gave the apostles instructions to give to the people. He said, stay put. He said, stay put. What does that mean? He said, mean don't move. Be still and know that I am. I am that I am. And so many times what we do, we're told to sit down. So we sit. And because the Lord does not give us additional instructions, because he's waiting to see if you're going to follow the initial instruction, we become irritated, right? We get impatient. We pick up the phone instead of going to the throne. We start texting. We start picking up the phone and calling, murmuring, and complaining because we're irritated, we're agitated, we lack patience. And that is one of the fruits, patience. And then what happens is we move and we miss God. He said, will you sit down a little while? Will you just be still? You see, what we don't understand is there's some stuff behind the scenes that we didn't did, that we didn't build up, that we don't know nothing about or we didn't forgot about, right? We forgot about those things. And the Lord said, just sit down and be still because I got to clean your mess up. But we get mad and we keep asking God, well, where's my promise? He said, it's on the way, but I got to tarry on your behalf. See, we become impatient with the one who created patience. We get mad with the one who gave us a promise. But my Bible reminds me that he is not a man that he should lie, nor a son that he would repent. So his promise is a promise, is it not? He said the promise is a yes. And an amen. It didn't say maybe. Nor did it have a time stamp on it. Chew that one up and eat it. He said, sit down for a little longer. But here's the key. While we're sitting and we're waiting, he said, He said, I'm going to give you another helper. According to John 14 and 16, he says, I'm going to send you a helper while you're seated, while you're waiting. One that is a comforter. See, what happens is we don't embrace the comforter because we become comfortless. Because we're choosing to operate in our own strength. Yeah, I know I'm stepping on some toes. That's okay. I still love you. Just receive the truth. He said, I'm going to give you an advocate. One who will stand in the gap for you. One who can speak on your behalf when you have no words to speak. He says, I'm going to be the intercessor. He says, when you're sitting down and you're praying and when you can't even utter a word and you just go, He said, I'm going to send the interpreter and send it back to heaven. And so they can interpret what you're saying. He said, I'm going to send the counselor when you need counseling. See, that part, some of us, we run away from because we think we got it all together. We don't need a counselor. Sit down somewhere and let the counselor be the counselor. He says, I'll be your strength. El Sali. He said, he didn't say, see, let me tell y'all something about who God is. We have the audacity. We murmur, we complain, we go to God. Lord, I need you to give me strength. Why are we asking him to give us something when he says, I am that I am? He says, who do you say that I am? So if he's saying, he's asking the question, who do you say that I am? Why are we saying, Lord God, I need you to be my strength when he says I'm already that? We need to embrace it. But we can't embrace it when we're not. Earth, then that means that you are his seed. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not see the righteous forsaken, nor my seed begging. So if he said, I'm not going to let you beg, so why are you having a pity party? Make it make sense. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you helpless. The Holy Spirit, one whom I will send in my name, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father and will testify and bear witness about me. You see, this was the conversation that Jesus had with his apostles while they were waiting for the day of Pentecost. I'm going to ask you a question. What are you waiting on? What day have you deemed as your Pentecost? It should be every day. Not on a particular day. You see, he gave them the instructions while he was feasting with them on what to do. And what would happen following those instructions. So Acts chapter 1 and 6, it says, so they came together and they began asking questions repeatedly. Y'all know how y'all do, right? When you sit before the Lord and you don't have clarity, you start asking a bunch of questions. Well, Lord, I don't understand this. Can you help me understand that? Well, why is this and why is that? How come this and how come that, right? We start getting in our head and we become super analytical with God. I know I'm not the only one in the room. Need not be ashamed. That's why he wanted you to be reminded of the word on this very day of the Pentecost. He said, You asking all these repeated questions, but did you stop to realize I answered the question the first time? You didn't hear me because you were listening to what was going on in your head. You didn't hear me because you refused to follow the instructions. I know I'm talking to more than one person in the room. See, I've been there. I've been in that place and space where I was in my head asking God questions, repeated questions, questions that were not going to get me nowhere. How about the questions that he already answered before I even asked them? But I was stuck here. I couldn't move forward. So they start asking all these questions. All of them. And some of them are because they repeated questions. Why? Because either you didn't hear or you have an unbelief. You're asking questions because your eyes did not see or your ears did not hear. Or let me reverse it really quickly. Because your eyes did not hear and your ears did not see. I know some of y'all looking at me like, wait, what? God created the senses to be multifaceted. And it is only when you're constantly connected to him that your eyes will begin to hear and your ears will begin to see. If you can't comprehend that, that is because you're out of alignment. Yeah, that's what happens. You allow your mind to go round and round. He said, I got to give you a demonstration. This is what happens when we repeat a thing. You go round and round and round. You become like the dog chasing its own tail. You end up operating in your own strength, trying to become beat control like Janet Jackson. But at some point, she lost control too. Only to discover you have become exhausted. See, let me help you. Save yourself the trouble of becoming exhausted. We become exhausted physically because we allow our minds to wander. Because we're not seated. But notice in the scripture, they asked a very specific question. They said, Lord, are you reestablishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel this time? Notice the latter part of that scripture says, this time. That means when he says this time, that means it happened before. You see, the fact that they said this time, you got to ask yourself the question, okay, we're saying this time, so what happened the last time? Did I miss it? Was I not seated? Did I not hear? Or did I not see? I love his response. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs. That means the distinct period of time, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and the Samaria and even the innermost parts of the earth. The problem is, when we look at the first part of that, his response, he had to put a demand. He said, it's not for you to know. Y'all didn't catch that. Meaning, he said, why are you asking me unnecessary questions? Why? Why is it a why? It ain't for you to know. Either you're going to go with my flow or you're not. Period. See, I like to have commentary with the Lord. I could just go insert. He said, why are you asking me these questions? You don't need to know all that. So when he tell us to sit down, when he say be still, when he say don't leave, let me go back there. He say, when he say don't leave, when he say don't leave, when he say don't disconnect, when he say stay seated. In other words, he said, stop asking me why. I'm going to tell you this. Don't even ask me before you even try to ask me. You don't need to know all the rest of that. Either you're going to trust me, or I like to say is you, or is you ain't. Basically, what he was saying to them is don't worry about what I'm getting ready to do. I just need you to be my witness after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I don't need you to sit there and wonder what just happened. Because I put fire upon your tongue. I don't need you to wonder and worry about because you stayed seated enough. I moved upon your flesh and caused your flesh to die and your spirit to rise up. I don't need you to sit there and get in your head and then quench Holy Spirit. See, this is what happened when we do this. When we get in our head, we see a move of God or we feel a move of God. And because we don't quite understand, we begin to ask questions and we start quenching Holy Spirit instead of letting Holy Spirit move. Sometimes we just got to follow his instructions. Following the instructions of the Lord allows us to encounter the promise that he has for us. I'm going to say that. One more again. Following the instructions of the Lord allows us to encounter the promise that he has for us. If you think about what's going on today, prophecy is being fulfilled, yes? For those of you who read your word, the prophecy is being fulfilled. And in the fulfilling of his prophecy, it is also his promise. He's preparing his people to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Man, woman, and child. No one will be exempt. The only ones that are exempt are the ones who don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. This requires us to come together in unity with the Lord. There's something about unity. There's something about coming together in unity. You say, what does that have to do with the day of the Pentecost? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. Coming together is what? Unity. Talk back to me. They had to be together before they were able to encounter the sudden sound that came from heaven. I need y'all to understand that. There is a requirement that God is looking for in order for him to execute his movement. Where two or more are gathered, he is in the midst. And it's not to say that he will not pour out his spirit on the one, but it's something significant because back in Acts chapter 1, he says, when my Holy Spirit comes, he says, I need you to be a witness. You can't be a witness if you're solo. Because who's looking? Who's watching? Then there's no witnesses. So he says, I need you to come together. And as you're coming together, I need you to stay seated. Stay in one place. Don't leave. Why? What happens when we leave? We miss the move. We miss the pouring. We miss his promise. Simple instructions. Now let's make it personal. We have an expectation of God to move on our behalf with this, with that, the third, whatever the situation is you got going on in your life. So you have an expectation of God, but does he not have an expectation of you? Talk back to me. Everything that the Lord God does, it requires a prerequisite. You want deliverance? You got to yield yourself to it, right? You want to be healed? You got to walk it out. See, I can do the crippling. Let me go back to my podium. I'm known for doing the crip walk in the pulpit. I said all that to say, no matter what you do, it requires a prerequisite. You saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that you have to walk out your soul salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That means you got to walk it out. Your leader can't walk it out for you. Uh-oh. Notice it was a prerequisite. You said yes. That means you got to yield. That means you got to fully embrace. That means you have to surrender. And then you got to walk it out. But you're not just walking it out. The latter part of those instructions says, with fear and trembling of the Lord. He didn't say fear man. He didn't say fear the world. He said with fear and trembling in the Lord. So why do we make it complicated? See, the promise that we're looking for, the move of Holy Spirit, the breath of Holy Spirit, we have to come into unity with him. When you stepped into this room, you became unified with the atmosphere. Let me make it plain English so you understand it. Anytime you accept an invitation, you come in agreement. Okay, Lord. You want me to go there? Okay. Anytime you accept an invitation, you come in agreement. Let it settle in. Whatever invitation you said yes to, you came in agreement, whether you knew what was on the back end or not. Let me give you an example. When my husband and I stood before the Lord, our bishop in California, his vows are a little bit different. He don't do the traditional stuff. And I thank God that he's not a traditional bishop. Y'all know if you've been to weddings, they'll set up there. If if there's anybody that's here who in agreement, yada, yada, they say all that, right? And either you stand up or you stay seated, right? Well, my bishop didn't say that. He said something that was very profound. He said, I trust that you're in agreement because you're present. I need y'all to let that settle. Let me run it back real quick. He said, I trust your presence. He said, you're here. So I trust that you're in agreement. all 150 people in that room was in agreement. Why? Because they were present. He didn't ask them to say nothing. He said, I trust that you are in agreement because you're present. They accepted the invitation and they showed up. So what are you showing up to? That may render a good promise or a false promise. A fruitful promise or a fruitless promise. A Holy Ghost promise or a warfare promise. The next time somebody sends you an invitation, you better think twice. It don't matter if it's your mama, your daddy, your sister, or your brother, your cat, or your dog. Because when the Lord says, stay seated, don't leave, don't move, don't disconnect, we have to honor that. Because the moment we move out of his cadence, we will miss Holy Spirit. Think about it. On the day of Pentecost, everybody came in one room. Everybody. Black, white, Hispanic, Jew, Pakistani, all ethnicity with various languages. They all came in one room. Just imagine if somebody would have left. Just imagine if somebody got up and left prematurely. And the Holy Spirit was just preparing. And you leave out the room. So when he releases his breath upon you, you miss it. Because you're in your head. Because you're asking a bunch of questions. You're asking, when is this going to be over? Or when is this going to start? Sometimes we got to learn how to tarry. Sometimes it's not good to leave before the benediction. Uh-oh. Let me back out of that. That part. We want to rush God. Can you not tarry for an hour? Can you not just sit still for an hour? Can you stop murmuring and complaining for an hour? Can you stop asking me questions for an hour? Can you stop tormenting yourself because you are in control and the Lord God is saying, give me that control. Whatever it looks like. You see, there's something about coming together in agreement on the day of Pentecost. It's not necessarily just today, May 24th. It should be every day. Your Pentecost should be every day. There's a union, there's a oneness, there's a one accord, there is a collaboration that captures the attention of God. Right? There's also accountability, responsibility, and action required in order to encounter his promise. Hebrews 10 and 25 remind us not to forsake the assembly of coming together. As believers, we come together to worship. Did we not do that? For prayer. Did we not do that? And for instructions. That is the habit for some, but not all. Coming together also is for encouragement. And all the more As you see the day of Christ's return, it is approaching. It is upon us, y'all. I know y'all been hearing repeatedly, we in the last days. Guess what? We are in the last days. And he's ready to pour out his spirit. We're looking for revival. We keep saying revival, 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 revival. But guess what? The Lord reminded me. He said, I can't have a revival unless we come together in assembly. Because he's looking for the witnesses. Some of you are looking for promise, and you think God has forgotten about you. I stop by to tell you and to encourage you, he has not forgotten about you. He is not a man that he should lie, nor a son that he will repent. He's looking for you to follow instructions. He's looking for you to be seated. He's looking for you to not throw in the towel. He's looking for you to not be so quickly exhausted. See, the exhaustion comes when we're in our head. Psychologically, the exhaustion starts when we overwork our mind. And then it trickles down to the rest of our body. So I declare peace upon your mind, whoever you are. Let the peace of God rest in your mind. Because your mind is a terrible thing to waste. Some of you are looking and you're waiting for Holy Spirit to pour out his spirit upon you. But in your waiting, you become weary. You become faint. You've become discouraged. You started self-condemning. And for some of you, you are ready to throw in the towel. Some of you even become bewildered about what you see that you don't understand. The voices that you hear and you can't comprehend or decipher which one is God versus which one is you. Notice I didn't mention the enemy. Because sometimes we blame and give the enemy too much credit. It's not always him. Sometimes it's the inner you battling with Holy Spirit. But you're looking for a promise. That's good. Keep your eye on the prize. But as you keep your eye on the prize, it requires you to shift your mind. Be renewed in your mind. Some of you even mocked what you see because you don't understand. Instead of asking God the right questions, Lord, what is this? You begin to mock what you don't comprehend. Let me remind you, God is multifaceted. And Holy Spirit moves when he wants to move. And if your expectation of him is to move upon you, to breathe and to pour out his spirit upon you, ask yourself the question, did you follow the instructions? Did you prepare yourself? Y'all know, like, you want cake, I'm gonna go home and make me a cake. You gotta follow instructions in order for that cake to come out done. You don't open the oven prematurely, because in the old school, they say, don't open up that oven because the cake gonna fall. Put yourself in that place of that cake. If you move prematurely, you might fall. If you come out too early, you won't be well done. If you don't stay seated, you can forget about the oil and the anointing because it requires you to be pressed. Oil is no good if it's not pressed. I'm reminded of the story of 1 Samuel 15. When he declared, obedience is better than the sacrifice. He said that obedience surpasses sacrifice and ritual offerings. What is a ritual offering? That's just you doing the work. You become a worker bee. You become a busy bee. Your heart is not in it. You're just doing this and that because so-and-so said it. See, there's a difference between doing the greater works when your heart is fully in it versus you just doing stuff to be seen, heard, or because somebody told you. Okay? Because the greater works, when your heart is in it, it becomes fruitful. The anointing destroys the yokes of bondage. If you can't destroy no yokes, then there's no anointing. He goes on to say, while rebellion, which is the inability to refuse, refuse instruction, and it goes against God's instruction, is compared to witchcraft and stubbornness to idolatry. And then John 14 and 15, Jesus himself makes mention of those who follow instructions and keep his commandments. He said, if you love me, y'all can finish the rest. That means when he says stay seated, that's a commandment. Our obedience or the lack thereof carries consequences, and that is blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. That's according to Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. And then you can jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's about 64 verses up in there. The first 15 tells you what he's going to do if you follow his instructions. The rest of it is if you disobey. You say, well, Apostle, I've been waiting. I don't see the manifestation of the Pentecost. I don't see what's going on. Can you help me out? He said, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. That's Luke 11 and 28. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, it reminds us that the following instructions is profitable for conviction, for correction, for training in righteousness, which means learning to live in the conformity of God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. Why? So that the man of God, that's you, may be complete and proficient, outfitting and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Sometimes, what am I saying? Sometimes you may not see the manifestation of your Pentecost because he's still doing a work. Because you have not been thoroughly equipped yet. So stop trying to move prematurely. I'm almost done. When we follow suit and we forsake the assembly, which is a part of the instructions, we miss out on the reward. You say, well, what does that have to do with my Pentecost? It's going to cost you to come out of comfortability. It's going to cost you to come out of your cave. I'm going to say that again. It's going to cost you to come out of your cave. You're looking for the penty cost. It's going to cost you to come out of a place. He poured out his spirit in a public place, not a private place. They weren't in a cave. They weren't in a hideout. They didn't go into isolation. By the way, isolation is not of God anyway. Think about the first letter, I. Where's God in that? I sow. That means you're solo. God's not in that. So stop going into isolation. He calls for consecration. Consecration is where you partner with Holy Spirit. Isolation is you all by yourself. John said, he baptized you with water, but the Holy Spirit shall, which is a promise, by the way, baptize you to empower and to ignite you not many days now. When he says not many days down, I mean it is to come, but it's requiring something of you. And I'm going to speed this up and go to the latter part of Acts chapter 2. Because I need to remind you of several promises that God made. He said, and it shall be in the last days, says God. Shall is a promise. That's one. I'm in verse 17. That I will pour out my spirit upon all my mankind, and your sons and daughters shall, that's number two, prophesy. And your young men shall, that's number three, see divinely prompted visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall, that's number five, prophesy. And I will bring about wonders in the sky above, and signs, which is attesting miracles, on the earth below, blood and fire and smoking vapor. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that means invoking, enduring, and worshiping the Lord God Jesus, shall be saved. Notice, if you really look at these scriptures, those were instructions. That had what? A promise attached to it. In this, there were mentioned eight promises in the five verses. Eight represents the number of big new beginnings, and five is the number of grace. So he said, in the beginning, I will grace you. So as we take our, we rest to our feet, I want to ask you this question. On this day of the Pentecost, May 24th, 2026, have you followed the instructions? You're waiting for God to pour out his spirit. You're waiting for a move of God. You're waiting for him to open a door. You're waiting for some kind of reconciliation. You're waiting for what's next, whatever that may be. You're waiting for your healing. You're waiting for your deliverance. You're waiting for your family members to come into the body of Christ. Whatever it is that you're waiting on, I want to provoke a question unto you. In your waiting, have you followed the instructions of the Lord? Not some of them, all of them. Not a la carte, I'll pick this instruction because it's comfortable for me. But that other part, because I don't understand it or because it's going to require another measure of me, I'm just going to leave that one there. So in order for the Lord to pour out his spirit the way you desire, it's going to require something from you. It's going to cost you something. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to exchange? That is the question. On the day of Pentecost, there was an exchange. There was an exchange from disobedience to obedience, from lack of instructions to following instructions, from being weary to being hopeful, from being faithless to being faithful. We wait on the Lord. And according to Isaiah 40, we have to wait. And in our waiting, he said, I will be your strength. I will mount you up. There's no need to be weary, and there's no need to faint. He said, in the last days, we don't know the hour nor the day. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But in order for him to pour out his spirit upon you, you have to be seated. You have to be in position. You have to follow the instructions. Sometimes those instructions are not easy. But you said yes. And though I was not looking around the room, I heard every voice lift up their voice to that song, and they said yes. Y'all got set up. Y'all got set up. They played the song yes on the day of Pentecost, and you went along with the song. You sang the lyrics. And you said, yes, Lord, I renew my yes. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I repent. Lord, I give you everything that I got. Lord, I say yes. You got set up. It's going to cost you. Your yes that you just renew is requiring another level of instructions. Too much is given, much will be required. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every person, every being in this room who has breath in their lungs that you've given unto them, that they have renewed their yes. They have an expectation of you, Lord God, for you to pour out your spirit upon them. And while they're waiting for you to pour out your spirit, Lord, even though they don't know the day or the hour, I thank you, Father, yes, Lord, that you're giving them another measure of patience. You said to be patient in the process. The process, or should I say part of the process, is us waiting. Lord God, give us patience in our waiting. Give us obedience to follow the instructions, Lord God, even when we don't quite understand what you said to do. I pray, Father, yes, God, that you be their strength in this hour, Lord God, that you remove the scales from their eyes, Lord God, that you will show them the vision that you have for them. Remove the spiritual wax from their ears so that they can hear. You said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would even begin to shut down their own voices so that they can hear your voice very clearly. I thank you, Father, yes, God, that you have already paved the way. You said, I've gone before you, and I've made every crooked place straight. He said, guess what? I've even broken the brass gate open so you can walk through it. You don't have to knock on the door. So, Lord God, I thank you, oh God. And I thank you, Father, that in their waiting, that they will learn to eat the scroll, not from a place of gaining knowledge, not from a place of getting fat-headed, oh God, but that they, oh God, will hide the word in their heart so that they will not sin against thee. And that the word of God, oh Father, will be ready upon their forehead and ready upon their lips so that when they feel a weariness coming along, oh God, that they, oh Father, will prophesy to them themselves back to the place where you have called them to be. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for the ones who said yes. that they mean yes. They're not just singing a song. They're not just singing a song, Lord God, that they mean every letter of the yes, that they're yielding, that they're fully embracing you, Lord God. Yes, Lord, and that they're fully surrendering. They're getting out of their head, Lord. They're being renewed in their mind, oh God. They're allowing you to re-circumcise their hearts because they said yes. Cleanse their hands and purify their heart, Lord, because your word says, who can ascend to the mountain of the Lord unless you have clean hands and a pure heart? Father, I pray that you clean every heart here. Circumcise the heart, Lord. Remove the anger. Remove the disappointment. Remove the discontentment. Remove the hurt, oh God. Remove the pain, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Even that is self-inflicted. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, your people. You said that you would never leave nor forsake us. You said that you are Abba, Father. You are the Lord God, our shepherd. You said that you are the Lord God who protects us. You redeem us, oh God. Redeem them back to you. And let them not just wait and ponder on a specific date of the year and proclaim it to be Pentecost, but let their Pentecost be every day. Wash them in your blood. Baptize them in your Holy Spirit. Bridle their tongues, Lord God. In fact, I declare that you would heap coals of fire upon their tongue, oh God, and change the language. And that you would even change their palate, oh Father. That they would no longer come to you with murmuring and complaining, but instead they would come to you decreeing and reminding you of what your word says concerning them. Shift the posture of their hearts and shift the posture of their minds. No more faking the funk. No more faking it until you make it. There's no such thing. Let faith converge with hope so that their hope will no longer be deferred and their hearts become sick. Father, I thank you. Lord God, rest upon them. Sit on them if you have to get them where you need them to be. Lord God, I thank you and I bless you. I even speak to those that are streaming. In the mighty name of Jesus, those of you that are watching, be encouraged. Wait on the Lord. He said, I am your strength. Don't move where he told you to stay seated. Filter your ears so that you only hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, because he is the one that has your best interest at heart. Submit yourself. Become accountable. You're waiting on the Lord. He said, I'm waiting on you. He said, when you move in my cadence, my promise will be fulfilled. Let the Lord love on you. Let him rest heavily in you and move only in his cadence. Father, I thank you and I bless you and I love you. And it is so, and so shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone, if you are in agreement, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.